You're writing about this grand bargain, which is kind of was put on the shelf, it seems to me, at least for a couple of days. Now it starts to be bubbling up again, and you're writing about it on CNN.com. We've got that linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Why do you think the idea of a grand bargain that will take into account not just the deficit, but also tax reform and spending overall and any number of different things rolled up in there, why is that, in your view, a better goal than to try to do something smaller?
Well, first, there's the clear point that if we fail to put in place a debt deal that saves in the neighborhood of $4 trillion or more, we will actually fail to stabilize the debt, which means bring the debt back down so it's not growing faster than our economy. Ideally, we'd all like to see us getting back to balanced budgets, but unfortunately, that's not going to happen anytime soon because we're just in too big a gap between spending and revenue. So what you want to do is control your debt levels. These smaller packages won't do that. So it means that it runs the very real risk that markets, credit markets, will actually look at this deal and say, but you haven't fixed the problem, and lose faith in the U.S.'s fiscal situation and our political ability to fix it. Just on the political side as well, it's going to turn out as they go through all these scenarios, it's very difficult to come up with a deal that they can all agree to, that small deals are actually just as hard to get passed as larger deals. So one of the interesting rules of negotiation is when you can't come to an agreement, you either go smaller or you go larger. And in this case, I think going larger could help politically, and it would certainly help the economy and from a fiscal situation standpoint.
That's one of the 6 points that you make in this column, which I commend to anybody that wants to understand what's going on here. I think you've analyzed this in a way that even somebody like me, who is not an economist and versed in all of these things, can really get a grip on what's going on here. Wanted to ask you about one of these points in particular. Your point number three is that people need time to adjust. And that, I thought, particularly rang true when thinking about what you were just talking about, not just credit markets, though, just the general economy, stock markets, and the way companies are doing business, kind of in general, that adjustment period seems to be pretty critical.
That's absolutely right. I mean, first, what we need is stability of knowing what's going to happen. So right now, one of the most pressing issues is how to make sure the economic recovery sticks. We obviously are not where we want to be in terms of jobs, and economic growth, getting that back on track, is going to be critically important. And anything that would derail that recovery would be problematic. One, and there are many pieces of what we're going to have to do to deal with that, one of those pieces has to be making a more stable environment so businesses and households know what to expect in the future. And that means putting that plan in place. A budget plan that we pick and put in place is not going to just affect us this year or next year. It's basically going to be a 10-year plan. And a lot of it is going to be phased in gradually. So having a sense today of what changes we can expect in coming years adds stability to all of us. But beyond that, there will be changes that affect individual people. So if you are somebody who works for the government and your pay is going to be frozen for 3 years, or if you're somebody who is now a medium-term worker, medium-aged worker, but the retirement age is going to go up 10 years from now, those are all things you want to phase in gradually. Actually, sorry, freezing wages you would do immediately, but it'd be useful to know. Phasing in the retirement age is something you want to know now so you can plan accordingly. So there's basically no argument against putting a deal in place today and phasing it in gradually where appropriate so people know what to expect. It's the uncertainty of this whole situation where we know things will change dramatically, but we don't know how. That's adding so much sort of psychological spook to this whole situation. And one thing we know about economic recoveries is you need to have confidence for the economy to continue to grow.
That's one thing that has had federal agencies on pins and needles for years now is predictability, budget situations, continuing resolutions, and all that business. And you and I have talked about that on the air a number of times. Given the track record that Congress has, asking them to do things that will give agencies and people and the economy that predictability might be overdoing it a bit, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it really is a terrible way to make people budget. The government agencies right now are constantly having to getting their budgets late after the year has become, are being told to run all sorts of different scenarios, you know, from freezes to cuts. They don't know what to expect. And then meanwhile, you sort of get frustrated because government doesn't seem to be planning in a longer term, and it's just reacting in short terms in terms of the strategies and thinking about how to implement different public policies. What agencies need is a long-term sense of what their budget is going to be, and so that they can use those resources, which certainly are going to be lower than they've been in the past. We're going to see real cuts, but at least if you have a sense of where things are headed, you can use them wisely. And I think one of the greatest challenges of all of this is going to be how for the government to do more in an era of fewer resources. And the more you can add some stability or show what it's going to look like over years, the better agencies will be able to rise to that challenge.
Speaking of having a sense of this, what is your sense of what we might see over the next week to 10 days on this? Or is this a thing that's got to shake out in the next couple of days, or we're in big trouble?
Well, it's a heck of a roller coaster ride, and I would say that anybody who tries to predict exactly where it's going doesn't really know. But I do feel like one big change that's happened in the past couple days is that we're farther away from that scenario where people would actually be willing to let the default happen. So I don't think we'll go past the debt ceiling, and I don't think we'll—I certainly don't think we'll have to default on our interest payments. And that was really a sort of a crazy, surreal situation that we're thinking that might happen. And so let's hope that I'm right, that we're well past that. But there's still the question of whether what will be attached to a debt ceiling increase will be kind of a punt, you know, oh, well, we promised to do this and put in some dates that you may or may not meet of coming up with ideas, but nothing specific. Or a small plan, which will be in the neighborhood of $1.5 to $2.5 trillion. I know that doesn't sound small, but in the realm of what we actually need to save, it is. And that plan would probably not fix any of the real problem parts of our budget, our entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or our tax system. Or the big grand bargain, which may not be, you know, it's sort of the long shot of this whole situation to actually get it done, but it's the only one where the payoff is that we've actually fixed the situation. So as long as these politicians are going to have to go through this very difficult battle of what kind of a deal to put on, and it's going to be bloody no matter what, they might as well get a good deal for the country, which is what we should be thinking about, not Republicans versus Democrats, but getting a deal that puts our debt back on a sustainable level. Otherwise, we're going to have to go through all of this all over again, and we might not get it done in time. So I guess it frightens me that even though the grand bargain is the only thing I see really putting us back on track, it's not at all certain we'll get there, and it's critically important that we do.
Maya McGinnis, always glad to have you on the program to explain these kinds of things. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.